It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up on Central Time, a book reviewer shines a light on the cultural and demographic shifts driving contemporary Midwestern fiction and shares some books for our reading list.
First, Governor Walker announced plans yesterday to increase funding of rural schools in Wisconsin. This came in the run-up to his two-year state budget plan, which he'll reveal next week.
Walker's Rural Schools Initiative would increase funding of rural schools by about $66.5 million in all, with special attention going to sparsely populated districts. Specific budget items include increased technology grant funding, broadband investment, additional transportation aid, as well as more support for school fabrication laboratories, or fab labs.
While rural school advocates largely hailed the move, opponents pointed out gaps in funding for sparsity aid and the need for better address teacher shortages. Democrats contrasted this move with overall public education cuts in recent budgets, which they say approached $1 billion.
Erin Richards joins us now. She's an education reporter at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Erin, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Well, we laid out some of the broad strokes here. Can you give us some of the details of what's included in Governor Walker's rural schools proposal?
For at least a few years now, rural superintendents and folks who are connected with rural schools have largely asked for more resources for technology, grants, technology funding. That's not just the broadband itself, but it's often the infrastructure to use broadband in schools. You also have sometimes a lack of internet access in people's homes. So part of this proposal is to provide more funding to allow districts to have mobile hotspots that children can actually take home with them to help them complete homework either on the bus or in their own homes. And you also have some more money set aside for these districts that are not just rural but also sparsely populated. So that means districts that have to transport kids long distances from their schools to their homes. And you also have some proposals in here aimed at trying to figure out ways to not only train more people to be teachers in rural areas, but ways to keep them there and keep them in the community. One problem facing our rural areas is that Wisconsin isn't adding a whole lot more people to its population. Overall, there's a slight decline. So you have areas that are sort of competing to keep people in the area, to keep good talent in schools. And one way to do that in the governor's proposal is to offer some a new pathway that would be overseen by the UW system to allow teachers' aides in schools, who are generally people with some college education, maybe a bachelor's degree or less, but they work as aides in schools, and this would give them a pathway to train to become a full-time teacher and potentially continue to stay in that community as a teacher.
And we've seen a long-term structural problem for these rural schools where as enrollment is stagnant or declines, the school aid formula pays a certain amount per student, which means less money in those schools, but fixed costs. You still have to heat the whole building. You still have to run the same number of buses with less money. Is that part of the backdrop of what's causing some of these problems?
It absolutely is, and for every school district, I mean, you know this, if you're in private industry too, health insurance costs go up every year. So even if you've made some pretty big changes in your health insurance administrator and benefits with the freedom that districts have now under Act 10 to pass those with less or no input from the union, you can only glean so many savings from that, and those costs go up every year, you know, whether you have 100 employees or, you know, 2,000 employees.
Talking to Erin Richards from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about what Governor Walker's been saying about his budget as it applies to school districts in rural parts of Wisconsin. Let's talk about the reaction some, Erin. First of all, what are we hearing from people who advocate for these schools in rural Wisconsin?
So lawmakers that have been on committees for the last couple of years to advocate for rural schools are applauding these as good first steps. A lot of the proposals are actually taken right out of what State Superintendent Tony Evers has asked for in his proposals. You've got a group called the Wisconsin Rural Schools Alliance. They have also asked for additional aid. This is additional per pupil aid for districts that educate kids in sparse areas. One myth that had been asked for by the Wisconsin Rural Schools Alliance was offering a little bit of extra funding for districts that educate up to 1,500 students. Walker instead capped that at districts that educate, you know, there was some additional aid for districts that are between 746 student enrollment and enrolling 1,000 students. The Alliance had asked for up to 1,500 because there's quite a few districts that kind of fall in between that window. That said, bumping it up from the 745 enrollment limit before was certainly seen as a welcomed move. And you also have the State School Boards Association, which has not always, you know, often has been at odds with what Walker's proposals are for schools, saying, thank you. Thank you for recognizing the needs of our schools and for offering a little bit more money in the budget here for them.
And we've talked to you in the past, and you mentioned just a few moments ago, the competition for teachers, these smaller schools, these rural schools, can't necessarily pay enough to keep teachers there, teachers who can go to more affluent school districts in Wisconsin or elsewhere. Is this enough money to make a difference for these schools?
I would say that it's a step forward, and it's seen as a positive step for districts that are really tight on funding. Is this enough? I don't know if we can say that yet. We've seen an increasing number of rural schools have to go to referendum and ask their communities to raise their own taxes simply for operating expenses. We've seen not only more and more of those operational referenda in recent years, but we've seen a great number of them actually be passed, which wasn't always the case before Act 10. So you certainly have communities that are saying, we don't have enough money to fund our schools. And in places where your communities rise up and recognize that need and approve that referendum, good for them. They have more money to use. But if you're in a district where your communities have not recognized that need or don't feel like they can financially recognize that need or fund that need, you know, those districts may be at even more of a disadvantage. The other problem is that there are some rural districts that don't meet the sparsity aid. Those are the sparsely, they're rural, but they're not sparsely populated, or they enroll above 1,500 students. They're not eligible for any of the extra per pupil funding. They might get a little bit more on the transportation money that's on the table, but I had talked to one rural district yesterday that I think they had about maybe 2,000 students. High school was about 400 or so. And the most that they would get out of this proposal was $5,000 extra for transportation. Certainly that's welcomed, but their total budget for transportation is about $900,000.
Well, what have we heard from Democrats in response to the governor's proposals?
Democrats did not lead with welcoming these proposals. What they led with was, look, Scott Walker, you have cut our schools since taking office in 2011. And the reason, you know, that they position it as you can't come out looking like a hero by offering $5 when, you know, starting in 2011, you took $20 or $50 from us. So their praise for these was almost non-existent. It really started from the point that these schools should have their funding restored to 2011 levels before anyone should take credit for offering a boost. So we certainly heard that from the Democratic lawmakers yesterday that were not nearly as willing to praise these proposals as people in the schools community.
This was a kind of a preview of Governor Walker's budget that's coming out officially next week. What are you watching for next on this story of rural school funding?
So there's a possibility, we're hearing some hints that we may hear a few more details behind the scenes as early as the end of this week or over the weekend. Nothing is clear yet. Walker has certainly signaled that he is interested and will be offering public schools more money. This rural schools package was the first sort of specific proposals we've seen in terms of public funding for schools. He has signaled that there will be a significant investment coming from that. I would expect there to be an increase in that per pupil allotment that districts can use per student. That's the sort of the total amount that districts can raise in state aid and local property taxes. In the old days, that used to go up by, you know, $200 a year or so. Starting in 2011, that was not just held flat, but actually was a decrease per student. So that's where districts are still trying to kind of dig back up out of that to get back to a place where they feel like they can handle costs moving forward. So I'm sure we'll see an increase in that per pupil allotment. I don't know if that'll be an increase over both years of the budget or if it'll be maybe one increase in the first year and a little bit less in the second. You know, could it be 100? Could it be 50? We're just not sure yet what that would look like. The other thing to watch for is how much money is actually coming to districts that they can use in the classroom. In previous budgets, Walker and the GOP have funneled more money into schools, but they didn't raise that per pupil amount that districts can raise the revenue limit. So essentially it means that you pour more money into schools, but it actually flows right through the schools and just goes to property tax relief. So on paper, it looks like you boosted school funding, but really when it comes down to what districts can use for salaries and for books, that element didn't actually go up for schools. So schools are very eager to see what are the resources you can offer us that we can actually use in the classroom over the next 2 years of this budget. And I think that'll be the main thing we look for. It'll be also be interesting to see if there's any recognition of the fact that urban schools and even to a lesser extent suburban schools have problems with their own teacher pipeline. So would there be talk of extending this proposal to train paraprofessionals to be teachers? Could that be extended to other school districts? Would that just be limited to rural schools?
And that's a lot to watch for. Erin, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Erin Richards, education reporter at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, looking at Governor Walker's rural schools funding proposal.